Hi, everyone. Just a reminder that this show is not legal advice, trading advice, financial advice, or personal advice. Enjoy the show, and thank you very much. This show is sponsored by the MIT Sloan School of Management's Blockchain Technologies online program, delivered in collaboration with Get Smarter, and by Formosa Financial, financial services for blockchain innovators. Yo, yo, welcome to Crypto 101, the average consumer's guide to cryptocurrency. This is Matthew Aaron, and today we have on three special guests. We have on three listeners of Crypto 101. In previous episodes of Crypto 101, we've always had on listeners, usually once a month. For the past couple months, we haven't had on listeners, but we're going to make up for it. Listener episodes have always been one of the favorites. People like to connect with other people, listen to how they got into crypto. Is it similar to their stories? And listen to news stories to be able to relate with the average consumer and hear new stories, new use cases, new inspirations and motivations for blockchain. In the past, we heard about Sam Balai sending remittance back to Ethiopia. We've heard Ronnie Rose and her ambition to get more women into blockchain, and we've heard many others. So I am very, very happy that I got the opportunity to sit down with, in total, seven individuals to bring out these listeners' episodes for you. This is the first one, and I hope you enjoy. Please meet some of the fellow listeners of Crypto 101. Before we get into that, please go to crypto101podcast.com. That's the hub for a lot of things you can do. You can go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow us there to keep up to date what's happening at Crypto 101. You can become a patron. The patrons support Crypto 101 when there's no advertisements, when there's no money coming in, and when I'm holding bags. It's the patrons that keep this podcast going, and we really appreciate it. By the way, if you are a patron and you did not check out the Patreon page, we have two things for you there. One, a surprise coming out here in about a month, and the second one is a subscription to 21's Cryptos magazine. I have two subscriptions left. Please follow the instructions on Patreon. Also, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Castbox, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Leave us a rating and a comment. It helps us immensely. And also, we're looking for a little help in the Crypto 101 community. If you're an audio editor or a blogger, hey, reach out. Please go to crypto101podcast.com, go to the contact button, and send us an email and say what's up. And finally, remember, ICO 101 with Aaron Paul is now in the Crypto 101 feed. So look for his podcast. Now, without further ado, let's meet three listeners of Crypto 101. I was excited to meet them, talk to them, and I hope you're excited to meet them too. Enjoy the show, and we'll see you after it. Listener of Crypto 101, Carl Gunaratnam, thank you very much for not only for listening, but for coming on Crypto 101.
No, it's my absolute pleasure to talk to you after all this time of listening.
Thank you, sir. Man, I really like talking to the listeners. I really like to getting to know them. So if you would, could you just please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm 35 years old. I live in London. I started out as a sports journalist in my late teens. And since then, I've been working in marketing for the rest of my career for really, really boring companies. And now I've found crypto and it's so much more exciting. So delighted to be in the space.
Right on. You actually were talking offline a little bit and you got into crypto writing, didn't you?
I did, only recently. I'm really lucky, actually, because V, the editor at 21 Cryptos magazine, decided to take a chance on me. I mean, I've only been in the space, you know, since December of last year. And I made a decision kind of pretty early on that the main reason I'm here is to get involved and to do something kind of meaningful with it. So I saw that they'd asked for contributions on Twitter, and I just went and wrote an article, a sample article, and sent it hoping they would like it. And they did, and it went from there. So I've written contributions for the last couple of issues, and hopefully going forward, I'll be continuing to do so.
Right on, man. Congratulations with that. It's amazing that, you know, a lot of people start getting into crypto. They want to know how to start operating in the space, working in the space, because everybody's excited about it. And man, you did it, man. Good job.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of thanks to you, really, because as I told you offline, I spent the first couple of months of my time in crypto just listening to your entire back catalogue to get me up to speed. And there was a couple of things that really resonated with me and stuck with me. And one of them was an episode where you were talking about how to get into crypto. And basically, your advice was just do it, man. Just find something that you are good at or you think you're good at and just reach out to a project. Don't think about money. Don't think about where you can end up. Just do it. Just do something and offer to help them. And then from that help, hopefully you'll progress. And that's exactly what happened. I didn't think about getting paid for anything. I didn't think about where it would end up. I just wanted to write and just do something. So it was definitely you that kind of pushed me in that direction. So thank you.
Man. That's awesome, man. Well, I mean, I don't know that how much reach we have, but we're very excited to hear that, you know, what we're doing over here helps somebody out and that you're having fun writing for crypto.
Yeah, it's been a blast so far and I've learned so much.
Right on, brother. Right on. Hey, so you got in November, December. That is a hell of a time to get in considering the price right now, man. How are you feeling?
Do you know what? I don't feel too bad because I'm an investor. And like that, when I said there was two things that really resonated with me from your podcast, funnily enough, the second one was, and I remember exactly where I was when I was listening to the podcast about, are you an investor or are you a trader? I was in the supermarket trying to choose some beer for a night with friends. And so I'm trying to make two really important life decisions here. What beer do I get? And right. Am I a trader? Am I an investor? And naturally speaking, I'm an investor because mathematically, I'm not great. I don't have TA skills. I do make a lot of bad decisions. So the less decisions that I have to make, the better. And I'm not really that sensitive in terms of prices going up and down. So I recognize that I think in a few years, Bitcoin is going to be, if not the reserve currency, it's going to be widely used. So I'm not worried about the price at the moment. And your podcast made me feel like that was okay. Because when you're on Twitter, you get lost in a world of people saying, oh, I'm shorting here, I'm longing here, I'm selling a bit of this and I'm buying a bit of that. And you sort of feel, oh man, my portfolio is bleeding. I should be doing what these guys are doing. You know, they're killing it and they're selling stuff. And I kind of got knocked out of my investor mode a little bit. But hearing that podcast and knowing that there's other people that do invest and hold and that's a perfectly viable strategy made me feel better about it and got me back on the straight and narrow. So
right on,
that's
man.
Another thing to thank you for.
You actually said a couple of things that I made mistakes in my first couple of months trading as well. I thought I could be a trader. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to sit around during the day and make a little money trading ups and downs and things like that. And I would be listening to the Poloniex Trollbox. And man, that thing just led me down the worst paths. I think in November it was already taken off. They stopped that, I think, back in June. But they would hype and FOMO and actually I still own I think 1400 Ripple because of that FOMO that they were pushing there. And I was like, I'm gonna buy some Ripple. Bought some Ripple and I still have 1400 Ripple just hanging out. Don't know what I'm doing with it. It's just hanging out. Should have sold it back.
You could probably buy a beer with that now, just about. Can you have a burger maybe?
And actually, that goes to my next question, man. Your important life choice. What beer did you get?
I got a really nice chocolate stout from Thornbridge Brewery. I remember that distinctly. It was delicious.
Right on, you're a stout man. I'm more of an IPA guy myself.
Oh, nice. Yeah, man. There's a lot of nice IPAs knocking about at the moment.
Yeah, for
in
sure.
In Taiwan, though. Good IPAs in Taiwan.
Yeah, actually, there's a couple of Taiwanese breweries here. There's a brewery called Jungmen Brewery, and they have about 20 varieties on tap at any moment. And yeah, they have a couple of quite nice IPAs, an American IPA, West Coast IPA, British IPA. They have something, oh man, it was it's not a rye PA, I'm sorry, it's a peat PA, where they use peat to make it. It's super robust flavor, amazing.
Yeah. Does it smell a bit odd though?
Like, oh yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, it's very peaty. But it's quite phenomenal what they did with that one.
Yeah.
I think maybe we should start a beer podcast next.
Man, Bitcoin and beer.
Dude, I'm trademarking it tomorrow. We're doing this, man. So what are you holding? What were you buying in November that you're holding bags of right now?
Oh man. So the first thing I bought was Ethereum, and I bought it on my birthday, so it's easy to remember. And since then, and then I did what a lot of people do, and I bought just a little bit of a lot of different crypto. So I bought some stuff that I regret. I bought some IOTA, which I got rid of, and I bought some Stratus, which hasn't done very well. But in recent times, what I've done is I think I've become a bit more of a Bitcoin maximalist as I've gone along. I still think we've got a couple of great altcoin cycles to come. So I think that's the best, still for me, the best way of making Bitcoin is to buy alts and grow them. So what I've done in this bear market so far to kind of try and stem the bleeding is I've consolidated into a few coins that I think that I've held all along mostly, but that I think have been maybe hit hardest. So they've got more growth potential. That's my theory anyway. So to answer your question, I've got quite a lot of Icon at the moment, which has been absolutely beaten down. I've got quite a bit of One Chain.
Okay.
And my kind of moon bag, the bag that is a bit risky, but I really believe in, is Lux. I think they've got one of the best projects out there in terms of what they've actually done, but they haven't really done any marketing. So not a lot of people know about them, and they're sitting at, what, 7 million market cap.
Mm.
And they've got smart contracts. They've got SegWit. They've got a proof of stake wallet, which is great because like you go online and you put your email address in and you put your coins on there and it stakes for you. You don't have to do anything else and you just sit there and watch the Lux roll in. There's going to be a decentralized exchange coming up as well. So at 7 million market cap, I think that's worth the risk to kind of keep a big bag of that. So
all right, you're talking my language right now, actually, because I am such a low market cap, high risk kind of guy.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
So I mean,
even One Chain is like 100, or maybe less than 100 million now.
No, that's too much for me. Nope. Nope. You give me some smart contracts, a platform with 7 million market cap, I'm going to just buy it to buy it. You're going to see me holding some bags of that soon.
Oh, man. I had some stuff like GVT, which was like 7 million market cap, I think. And I had to get rid of that because of the bleed in. And I had some, Swift coin at some point. That was a bad move, but that was really low market cap as well.
Right on. So what do you think of the market right now? You think we're going to be bleeding? You think we're going to be bag holding for a year or so? Or do you think that this is going to pop up by the end of the year and we're going to be looking back at this as, and making jokes, laughing, drinking our chocolate stouts and IPAs?
I'm going to take option two, I think. I prepare for the worst and hope for the best. So there's a bit of me that thinks that 2014 fractal is going to play out and we're going to rumble along a little bit along the bottom. And then I think that 5,800 support is looking a bit weak. So we might drop down and then rumble along. But I think the recovery will be a lot quicker than 2014. I think the cycle seems to be playing out quicker. So if not by the end of the year, maybe early next year, maybe the ETF, if it gets announced, will be a catalyst. But I'm not pessimistic at all. The way I see it is, with alts as cheap as they are right now, and don't take my advice because I'm an idiot, but as cheap as they are, it's kind of, if it goes even any lower, it's a real bargain. It's a chance to kind of fill your bags up with stuff. Like this time last year, when Icon was £8 or $10, I'd have killed for it to be 50p or like, what is it, 70 cents. I'd have absolutely killed for it. So
right.
I'm not going to sit here now and say, I'm not buying that in case it drops to 50 cents. That would be stupid. I'm gonna fill up and hope for the best.
I'm looking for fiat right now to fill my bags up, because a lot of what I'm holding is down. To be perfectly honest, I think I'm gonna have to go and double, even triple on a lot of my holdings to get back up to break even.
Are you rebalancing in terms of like getting into more just Bitcoin holdings and keeping your alts a bit lower in percentage?
No. I'm buying the same alts. No, if I'm going to make a dumb mistake, I'm going to keep making that same dumb mistake until I don't learn my lesson and do it again. So this is why my show at the beginning of every show, it is not financial advice. We are 101 for a reason.
But you know what? I think in a year or so, when we have another alt season, you're going to be sitting pretty, and hopefully so am I. So that's a strategy.
Well, there's a couple of people that I've been telling the blog writers, the audio editors, people that work for Crypto 101 that I've only met virtually for the past year, and a lot of listeners, that once my alt moon. I am taking a world tour, and I'm going to go meet every last one of you, and I hope to see you in the UK.
I'll have a stout or an IPA waiting for you.
I hope there's multiples.
Let's not be greedy. Let's see how much money we got by the time that rolls around.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot London is expensive, man.
Yeah, you might have done well. I might still be looking at a bleeding portfolio.
So mate, I'll buy you a beer if I've done well. Don't worry about that. If I can afford London.
That's true. But you've done more than enough for me already, so I wouldn't take your money. You'll be fine.
No, man. No. But say real quick, what are some of the influencers and some of the resources that you recommend in this space right now? If you were having somebody come in, listen to this interview, and they're like, man, I really want to know who to follow on Twitter, what to read, who to read, or who to listen to, who would that be?
Well, I mean, if they're listening to this podcast already, I probably wouldn't need to say you, but you'd be first on my list, because if you're getting into crypto, just go back and listen to the whole back catalog, because you'll learn all the basics and you'll have somebody asking the questions that you find yourself wanting to ask, but you probably feel a bit stupid doing it, and you get that all out of the way for people. So I would say start here. Then in terms of like reading materials, I mean, there's a guy called Flat Out Crypto who I've actually known for I've never met him in person, but through sort of various Telegram groups and forums and stuff. And he's another guy that's just gone out off his own back and decided, you know, he, for no financial reward, he just wants to go out and just write. So he pours in hours and hours of research into projects and issues, and kind of the way that he writes it makes it really easy for people like me to understand technical issues. So I would go and have a look at a guy like Flat Out Crypto, or I mean, I know I'm biased because I've got some stuff in there, but if you're a bit sick of the kind of day-to-day shorting here and longing there and nitty-gritty of trading, and have a look at 21 Cryptos magazine, because there's some real life-affirming stories in there of what people are actually doing on the ground to kind of push Bitcoin and blockchain forwards. And it's a nice, it just kind of makes you feel warm and fuzzy when you're looking at your portfolio, and it's awful to go off and read people that are just out there doing some great stuff. There's a cover article this month was a lady who's just, she's just quit her job and she's bought an RV and she's just gone off around America and she's doing like workshops and just teaching people about Bitcoin and blockchain and collecting data. And she's just like, you know, she's taking a risk and she's just gone out there and done it, helping people that wouldn't otherwise access blockchain and Bitcoin. So I think stories like that are just great. So have a look at that, would be my tip.
Right on, man. Hey, Carl, thank you very much for coming on to this listener episode with Crypto 101. It was good to chat with you briefly, get to know you a little bit. And thank you again for listening for all this time, all these episodes.
Oh, no, man. Thanks a lot for all of your help and all of your great content. I really appreciate it. Thanks for letting me come on too.
Right on, brother. You have a good day.
You too. Take care.
And now a word from our sponsor, MIT Sloan School of Management's Blockchain Technologies online program in collaboration with Get Smarter. The MIT Sloan Blockchain Technologies program takes place over 6 weeks entirely online and focuses on solving existing business problems through the use of blockchain. Participants in the program will learn how to harness blockchain to unlock business opportunities. The next presentation of the online program will take place on August 29th, and MIT is offering my listeners an exclusive $250 discount for the course. Register for the Blockchain Technologies course, and you'll be able to enter our promo code, CRYPTO101, that's CRYPTO101, when making the payment. This $250 discount is limited to the August 29th presentation of the MIT Sloan Blockchain Technologies program only. Once more, you can receive an exclusive $250 discount when you sign up for the August 29th presentation of the MIT Sloan Blockchain Technologies online program using this promo code, CRYPTO101. Now, back to the show. Savan Martirosyan, listener of Crypto 101 and editor of Crypto 101 podcast. Welcome to Crypto 101, sir.
Thank you, Matthew. Glad to be on the show, man.
Hey, cool, man. Look, you've been listening to the show for a long time. You have merged and came up and started editing a lot of our podcasts for us. Thank you very much. But now it's time to have people hear your story about getting into crypto, about hodling, about the bear market, about, well, just you. Sir, who are you?
My name is Savan Mardrosian. I live in Los Angeles, California. I do assistant editing for various TV shows.
Have you worked on any big TV shows, anything that we would know?
I've worked on the Oscars before. I worked on a Hulu series about 2 years ago. And yeah, still at it. I love what I do. So.
Right on. That's really cool, man. So when was the first time you took the plunge into Bitcoin?
I ended up talking with a coworker back in 2013 about, hey, you know, what do you invest in with the pay that you get from work and everything? And I told him, like, hey, I'm into comic books. I'm into, like, grading them and getting them signed by the owners and everything. And, you know, well, how about you? He goes, I invest in Bitcoin. I'm like, what the hell is that? And he's like, yeah, I put about $100 a month and buy up this digital currency. And I had never heard of that. And at the time, this was back in June of 2013, where Bitcoin was literally $100 per Bitcoin.
Right.
So I was like, okay, wow, this is something to get into. So I started looking into it and everything. And I'm like, all right, what's digital currency? Like, how does this all work? So at the time, there wasn't any documentaries, you know, there wasn't any podcasts or YouTube videos. So I just did a whole bunch of research myself. I was like, all right, how do I get into this? I saw Coinbase, of course, and I'm like, all right, let me buy Bitcoin off of Coinbase. I didn't quite trust it just yet, but then I took the plunge and I'm like, let me just risk it. Let me see what it is. And I saw how the mechanics of Bitcoin and transferring Bitcoin worked, joined onto a few other exchanges. And at the time I focused in on arbitraging. And I must have spent hours and hours every day after work, before work, trying to figure out, okay, how can I quickly like buy and then sell, make a quick profit. And I was all about that. And then figured out that that's probably not that fast of a turnaround, because back in the day you didn't have a stable coin. So you would have to withdraw to a bank and then buy it from your bank. So in crypto time, that's a long time, 3 to 4 days. I mean, 1 hour can make a big difference.
Right.
And so that's basically how I first got into cryptocurrency.
Right on. When was the first time you started listening to Crypto 101?
Back in,
here's where it comes, ladies and gentlemen. He says, actually, I've never actually listened to a show.
This is the first time. So it's kind of a long story, but I'll try to abridge it as much as possible. I kind of got bit by Bitcoin back in 2013, and I was like, okay, forget cryptocurrency. I don't need this. It's too volatile, blah, 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 and this and that. And I started looking into Ethereum, which was supposed to be Bitcoin 2.0. So I was like, all right, let me just get in on the presale and whatever. This is the last time I'm going to invest in anything, and I'll just leave it at that. Left it at that, didn't even go into cryptocurrency, and probably about a year or so passed, and then I was like, let me check out what happened with that Ethereum that I had invested in. Looked at the price, I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm making a profit here. So that got me into cryptocurrency a lot more, and I started joining Reddit, and I actually saw a post on one of the subreddits for Ethereum about an episode you had done describing Vitalik, the co-founder of Ethereum.
Yeah, who was Vitalik?
And so I listened to that and I'm like, this is an interesting podcast. And so I just went back to the beginning and I just started listening. Okay, what is Coinbase? What's GDAX? I'm like, all right, this guy's onto something. So you know what? I'm going to subscribe to his podcast and I'm just going to keep listening to it as I'm getting back into this cryptocurrency atmosphere and environment.
I appreciate that. That was actually a Reddit post that I made back when we first started. Yes. I think Who is Vitalik was probably around my 10th podcast. And I made that post, and I don't think I've ever looked back at it. And I don't know if anybody came from it, but thank you very much.
Yeah.
So you are holding some ICO token Ethereum right now.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I want to ask you how much you have, but I'm not going to ask you how much you have. But damn, good work, sir.
Thanks, man.
So you're not bag holding then?
I'm bag holding other coins I got into, but not on Ethereum, no.
Oh, okay. Well, I would assume so. What are you bag holding on?
Over the years, I have invested into over 25 different coins, and I'm still kind of going. So I have kind of lost track in terms of where I'm backholding, only because I believe in holding. So
right, which you did good with the Ethereum. So let's stick with that plan.
Yeah. And yeah, that's my main thing. Like, I believe in the technology a lot, and I don't have any attachment to any specific coin. I love the whole cryptocurrency atmosphere, the tech, what it could bring to the world. So
what is it about the tech? What is it about the atmosphere that you like so much? What resonates with you?
The biggest thing that resonated with me, to be honest with you, was when I edited your episode of that personal story that you had talked about. And that just was really powerful to me, because I was already feeling like, man, there should be a quicker way to transfer money cross border. There should be a quicker way to like do money exchange without having all these fees and all the banks get in the way. And then when that episode came out and you spoke about your story, that really hit the nail on the coffin. I'm like, yeah, why shouldn't there be a faster mechanism for transferring money? Why shouldn't there be identity verification? Why shouldn't there be decentralized apps created? And I just love the whole culture of it. I love just the entrepreneurial mindset that has come forth because of this new industry.
Right.
I mean, this is like the next technological renaissance, so to say.
Right. What do you think of the market right now? We're talking about bag holding. We're talking about the bears. We're talking about being involved. You were involved in 2013. You got ICOF, which everybody covets your ICOF. But what do you think of the market right now? Everybody's bag holding. I just put a Facebook Live video up today that my portfolio has never been lower. What do you think of the market?
I think the market is going to do what it's going to do. And honestly, boils down to the individual. If you believe in the technology, it ain't going to be low forever. It's eventually going to come back up depending on adoption. And, you know, you're holding bags now. Well, that's fine. You know, I made the mistake early in when I got into the cryptocurrency atmosphere that I was holding bags. I'm like, oh, crap, I don't want to lose money. You know what? I'm going to sell. Bad idea. Because that's when you actually lose money. If you're holding bags, hold the bags and let that just go on that ride in terms of what it's going to do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if the market's down, the other mentality that I have, because I believe in the technology, is, hey, it's a crypto sale. Whatever you were thinking about buying before, get some. If you're holding a large bag on a certain coin that you believe in, well, dollar cost average it, get more, you know?
Right.
I mean, why not if you believe in it? If you don't believe in it, look, just hang on to it. We're in like the most earliest stages of this industry, kind of like when eBay and Yahoo and everything was coming up. So it doesn't hurt to hold something, and obviously don't put the money you're willing to lose. So,
right. Who are some of the influencers and what are some of the resources that you recommend for somebody that's getting into the space right now? If they were to stumble on this episode, and this would be, say, their first episode they ever listened to, getting into the space, where would you direct them to go? Who would you direct them to listen to?
As far as resources, I would do it in steps. And anybody who I've worked with or I come across that asks me what's cryptocurrency about and how do I get into it and whatnot, this is what I tell them. I tell them, first and foremost, watch the Banking on Bitcoin documentary on Netflix. That gives everybody the history in terms of who the players are and the Bitcoin industry. I also tell them to watch The Rise and Rise of Bitcoin as well, that documentary on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the first step, just so that they could familiarize themselves with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and how all of this started. What I do next is I ask them to subscribe to your podcast.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Definitely. I tell them that your podcast and Aaron Paul's ICO 101 podcast is a great resource to get started in terms of, okay, they learned about what Bitcoin is. What are the next steps? Mm-hmm. What are the 101s? And that way they can learn about the slangs. They can learn about what maker and taker fees are, what exchanges are, what, where to go. So I tell them your resource and Aaron Paul's resource next. And then I tell them to go on Reddit and on CoinDesk or, you know, many of these news websites to keep on top of the news. So those are the resources I tell people when they're getting into cryptocurrency. As far as the influencers, you get this a lot, but I definitely follow what Vitalik says, you know, on Twitter and on the internet in general. He really is a bright-minded individual. And then I keep my eye on, honestly, the Winklevoss twins, because the thing is that they were the original creators of Facebook. I mean, they were onto something.
Right.
And the fact that they created Gemini and they're getting all these licenses and what they're trying to do to mold the mainstream, that's pretty cool. And then most recently, I started following Brock Pierce based upon your interview. And every now and then, I like to see what John McAfee's up to as well.
Yes, yes. McAfee, he's entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah.
Right on, right on. Well, Savan, thank you very much for spending a little bit of time with us for the listener episode. And just to make sure that everybody knows that you are one of the Crypto 101 editors. You go unnoticed for probably, I don't know, 8 months so far, editing different shows. You edited... What shows have you edited?
Wow. So I edited Jameson Lopp's episode. I edited the Fireside Chat, of course, with your personal story. Some of the Ethereal interviews that Aaron Paul did. I edited also Josh Fraser, Howard Marks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody has heard your work and they didn't even know it, but now they hear your voice and they hear your story.
Thanks to you, Matthew. I appreciate the opportunity, man.
No, man. Thank you very much. You are making the Crypto One community come together and put out this podcast. Savan, thank you very much. And we will get this edited. Probably you'll do it. And put this up for everyone. Good. We'll talk to you later, brother.
You got it, man. Thanks again, Matthew. I appreciate the time.
And now a word from our sponsor, Formosa Financial. Financial services for blockchain innovators. Formosa Financial found that the biggest bottleneck for most blockchain innovators is access to banking. They fundraise and innovate in the crypto world, but they operate in the real world. Employee salaries, rent, bills are all in fiat. Almost all blockchain companies can't get a bank account, so everyone is using Band-Aid solutions to manage their funds properly. The solution? Formosa Financial. At Formosa Financial, we've created the ideal financial service platform for all blockchain innovators. First, we've secured reliable banking partnerships that enable us to offer banking services to blockchain innovators. We focused on banking partnerships, licensing, and compliance. Second, we've built a suite of financial services that can help blockchain innovators manage their funds conveniently so they can focus on growing their business. We've built a brokerage account, crypto to fiat trading, and we have risk management services. How can you make sure that $10 million in crypto today is worth $10 million next year so you can operate your business? Well, we have a solution. If you're an innovator or an investor, please check out formosa.financial. That's FORMOSA.financial for more information. Now, back to our show. Tyrone Toto McCabe, listener of Crypto 101, welcome.
Well done with the name.
Thanks
very much for having me on the show.
No worries, man. No worries. Hey, man, I want to first say thank you very much for listening to Crypto 101. And thanks for volunteering to come on and let us pick your brain a little bit and wrap out with you, listener, about crypto.
No worries, man. Thanks for having me.
Bro, why don't you do us a favor and tell us, we were just talking a little bit offline, and you are doing a PhD in Ireland. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm 26. I'm doing a PhD here in Ireland on autonomous vehicles. So specifically integrating wearables and fitness devices into autonomous vehicles in the future, how they can affect the handover between control of drivers and the vehicle. So that's pretty much what I'm working on. I've been into crypto for maybe a year and a half. So I pretty much started around the same time as you did with the podcast. I remember looking it up a month or two in and I was like, oh, Crypto 101, I should listen to this.
Damn, man, and you've been sticking with us ever since.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right on, man, thank you.
No worries. Then when it comes to crypto, I suppose, I've actually known about Bitcoin since maybe 2010. My dad is kind of like the fish that got away story. I remember him coming to me, he's like, oh, I think I'm going to buy some of this Bitcoin. I'm going to put €100 into it. And it was at like 11 cent at the time.
Ooh.
And he just decided not to or whatever. And I remember phoning him up in like second year of college. And I was like, oh, do you see Bitcoin's now at €400 or $400? And he was like, oh, he was like, fuck. then ever since, he's just been like kicking himself.
Shit, about, man, that would have been like a thousand Bitcoin, yeah?
Oh, it would have been a good bit more. No, actually, about 1,000 Bitcoin, yeah.
1,000 Bitcoin hitting $20,000 in January.
Oh, absolutely nuts. And then I kind of flirted with a bit more in college as well, but never got into it. We kind of made an investment fund with myself and like 10 others in college. And we were like, oh, half of us wanted to invest in Bitcoin. The other half had wanted nothing to do with it. So we kind of ended up splitting. And the people who didn't want anything to do with it, we all ended up just taking our money back. And some people went and actually did it themselves. I was too lazy to go do that. So those guys have a couple of Bitcoin now as well. So I've always been in and around the space, but it was only like a year and a half ago when it kind of started to come back again that I actually really got into it.
Right on, brother.
Started putting some money in.
Hey, I got a quick question for you about the driverless cars. A lot of people say that they're going to operate on blockchain. Do you think that's possible?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
I don't think they're going to drive around using blockchain. I think all the data transmissions are going to use blockchain. So let's say, for example, what I'm working with is actually trying to get. So let's say you're driving along and you may suffer a heart attack. My aim is to connect, let's say, the healthcare network to so that they can say, okay, this person, his heart rate's really elevated. They have a history of heart disease. And you can get that from the hospital form and an e-health network. And they can say, okay, well, that compare that to someone who's completely healthy. Well, maybe their elevated heart rate doesn't really matter. But someone who's has an elevated heart rate, you might need to do something different. And all that data transfer needs to be completely secure because you're dealing with very sensitive information. And
right.
The easiest way to do that, I see, is blockchain.
Any chance you're reaching out to some of the health records on the blockchain companies that have been floating around the Crypto 101 and ICO 101 channel?
Yeah, definitely. I haven't reached out to any yet. I'm not actually at that stage of the PhD. I'm more looking at the data side. Maybe next year I'll be looking at stuff like that. But I think it makes so much sense.
Shit.
Like the healthcare industry is a disgrace in Ireland and I think most countries.
Mm.
And I got an x-ray in Dublin, let's say, and I can't see that x-ray in Galway where I live because why? No real reason.
No
why
reasons.
Can't those records be online?
Right.
It's going to revolutionize the healthcare industry for sure, blockchain. It has to. Something has to change.
Right on. So back to crypto. When you got into crypto a year and a half ago, how did you buy? What did you do? What was the steps? What was the platform? And then what did you buy?
Okay, platform pretty much was Coinbase's.
Okay, so they connect to your bank?
Yeah.
Cool.
Connect to the bank. And then after realizing how kind of high the fees were, after maybe putting like 100 euros in, I went straight to Kraken, which was free for Euro.
Yep.
Then after that, I suppose I bought some Ethereum. I always kind of think Bitcoin's not really going to be... I'm not a Bitcoin purist.
You're not a Bitcoin, maximalist, yeah.
I'm not, no, maximalist. I just think you needed the World Wide Web to operate the internet for everyone. So that's my theory on that.
Mm.
But I was really interested in IOTA actually because of the microtransactions and based on what I'm doing in the PhD, I thought IOTA was a really cool project. Ethereum, I suppose, some NEO, some VeChain. That's pretty much what I'm holding at the minute.
And are you holding bags or are you up?
I'm up. Yeah.
And everything across the board?
No, not everything.
All right.
I've made some bad decisions. I've lost some crypto, but...
You lost some crypto? What do you mean lose? Do you mean bad trades or because you lost money or you lost crypto like because you sent it to wrong addresses or
I lost my private key for, I think I bought some smart cash back when it was really cheap. I just wanted to set up a math. I'm a bit of a techie, so I like doing all these sort of weird things. So I tried to set up a Masternode, then lost my private key.
Oh,
there's 10,000 smart cash sitting in a wallet that I have no access to.
Oh, how much is that worth?
It's only worth like 9 cents.
Oh, okay. 10,000 made it sound like a lot. I was like, oh, shit, man.
No. It's all right.
Right on.
I've pretty much made all the mistakes, made some bad trades, but I've taken my initial investment out. I felt that December, January, I just thought it had gotten crazy. Like I was seeing Instagram influencers that had nothing to do with crypto saying, here's where you buy crypto. I was like, it's maybe time to take a little bit out here. Take initial investment out.
Next time you have that feeling, can you please send me a text?
It's so hard, though. It is so hard.
I remember during the highs, I was sitting at my on my couch writing I think it was like a 40-page paper or something like that. And I turned off all notifications and everything, you know, five days later. Then I went, you know, after finals, you go drinking, did some drinking, came back.
Yeah.
Everything went tits up again. And I was like, wait, what happened?
I know the way. And I think the best way is, like, I've heard it so many times in your channel now or your podcast, is that people are like, oh, I don't look at CoinMarketCap or my Blockfolio anymore. Like, that, you hear that from kind of the top people. And that really is the way to do it, because if you're checking it every day, it just becomes an addiction. You become addicted to either the highs or the lows.
Yeah, it's true.
Or you're just thinking in your head the whole time, what if? Either way.
Exactly. What do you think of the market these days? I mean, my portfolio has never been so low. How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal. I mean, like, with this, the ETF delay, it's going down for no other reason. Like, nothing's changed. It's going down because people think other people will sell, and so they're all selling. And that's really the only reason. It's just, like, I'm mainly in alts, so Bitcoin is at least a little bit stable, but, like, Ethereum has been destroyed. It's now back to pretty much what it was this time last year.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah, man. I actually do all business on Ethereum, so I really got to start moving into a stable coin for business, I think.
Yeah, like TrueUSD or USDT. I'm not sure about Tether. Seems a bit dodgy, but stable coins seem to be the way to go when it comes to, like, actual business.
Mm-hmm.
At the minute, anyway.
Hey, so who are some of your favorite influencers in the space? If you're going through your daily routine, you're going to read something about crypto, you're going to check the market, you're going to, you know, put your finger on the pulse of it, who would those people be, or resources?
Probably give a pretty bog standard answer with Andreas Antonopoulos. He's pretty smart, a very smart guy. Other than that, I suppose I listen to a good few podcasts. Yourself, Invest Like the Best is a pretty good one. It's not really crypto related, but it's pretty interesting. What else? Trawl through Reddit, etc. There's a pretty good YouTube guy called, he's Crypto Gurus, his name's Tom Harvey, I think it is.
Okay.
He's pretty solid. I've actually made some good ICO investments based on what he said. He's a pretty interesting guy. He's really transparent as well, which is something that you don't have a lot in crypto, I find, with a lot of influencers.
Right.
Right
on. So in the next 6 months, what's your plans with crypto? I mean, we are really dragging on the bottom right now. We might even go lower. Who knows what's going to happen? You have any plans to, you know, scoop up some more coins? You think you're going to sell something? You think you're going to... What's your plan?
Oh, this is so hard to do. I think I'm just going to stick with what I have.
I think I'm going to do the same, and it's hard. You're right.
It's so hard because I really would love to actually buy something. But I'm a PhD student. I don't actually have very much money to be putting into this. My wage pretty much goes to living, apart from any sort of side hustles I have going on. But yeah, I think I'm just going to stick with what I have. I'm happy. And, like, I dabble in a little bit of trading and a little bit of ICO investment, and I've made actually some good choices there, and have gone up in, let's say, Ethereum, maybe not up in real money, shall we say. The way I see it is, it's going to come back to where it is. Like, you can see this, if you look at that Bitcoin chart, the same thing happens every time, every 3 or 4 years. It might take every 2 or 3 years. It might take a year to come back to where we were,
right.
But I see it coming back.
Yeah.
For sure.
I hope it goes back to where we were and up to $50,000 Bitcoin.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We all hope.
We all live in hope.
You know, I always think, because, you know, I'm on a university campus myself. Have you ever just thought of, because we have access to, like, rooms and research rooms and computers and stuff like that. Have you ever just thought of just setting them all up to mine a shit ton of Bitcoin?
I've done it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It was Monero. We had a load of spare computers sitting in our lab, and they weren't ASIC miners, so I was getting hardly anything. But yeah, it was pretty fun to just
really,
like I said,
I love to do stuff like that.
Yeah, I got a couple of Monero from that.
Right on. And you, and it was all that electricity was charged right to the school.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. We're not saying anything about this. Of course, we didn't say your first or last name in the...
We're a computer lab, so I don't think anyone monitors what kind of electricity we use.
Right. Well, we have... actually, when we get off, how about this? When we mean you go in on some ant miners and, and set up a little farm over there.
I've thought about it so many times. Just set up a proper mining farm.
Exactly, man.
And I actually think it happens all the time in the States. Like those college dorms they're getting heated by ASIC miners.
100%. Actually, there's a firewall in my university. If there's anything that says Bitcoin or an address or anything, they block it right away.
Really?
I think it is for mining.
Oh, that doesn't happen in my university.
Yeah, yeah. You go onto a Bitcoin website, it's knocked off. It's not banned here in Taiwan or anything. Wow. Taiwan is but the university, very strict on it.
Oh, that's interesting. We, like Ireland, we don't know anything. Like, the general population knows nothing about crypto. It's really only techies and nerds.
Right on.
Although I think Genesis Vision is actually based here in Dublin, which is pretty cool.
Okay, cool. Right on. Hey, Toto, I want to say thanks for stopping by and chatting about your experiences with crypto, telling us a little about yourself, and thank you for listening to Crypto 101 for the past year and a half, and all the ups and downs, man.
Yeah,
good luck to you. And, hey, man, and keep being involved with the Facebook community. Keep telling us what you've been up to, and we will talk to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you again.
Perfect. Cheers, man.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Crypto 101. I hope you enjoyed listening to the listeners as much as I like talking to them. In our next episode, we have a Max Kordick, president of Lisk, and he's going to give us a Lisk 101. And following that, we have another listeners episode where we can meet three more amazing listeners with great stories, and I hope you enjoy that as well. Before we go, check out apogeecrypto.com, apogeecrypto.com, the best place to check your bags, cryptonews.com, to check out all the FUD, and we will see you in the next episode of Crypto 101.